My wife and I, we love to vacation, but we always vacation in Missouri because we have family there. And one of our favorite things to do is to go to Branson, Missouri. And we love Branson. And we love to go to the Sight and Sound Theater. We love kind of like it's kind of the hillbilly version of Six Flags, and they call it Steal Your Dollar City or Silver Dollar City. That's it, Silver Dollar City. And we go there and we enjoy that place with our family and our kids. And on one occasion, we were visiting there and we decided to take our kids to the water park in Branson. And we looked on the weather, on our phones to see what the weather was going to be like. And it was going to be fair. It wasn't supposed to be tornadic weather or horrible weather. But what the weatherman called for, it's the only job in Missouri you can have and not get fired for lying is a weatherman in Missouri. And so we went to the park, to the water park, and when we got there, everything was perfectly fine. We got a locker, we took our sandals off, put our sandals in the locker because we were going to be on water slides most of the day. By the time noon, 1 o'clock hit, the temperature rose to 105 degrees. Now, out here, that's we're used to that. But in Missouri, they have this thing called humidity. That is not a good word with 105 degree temperature. And it was somewhere around 80%. Now, I can't describe to you what it was like, but if I could hang you over hell, that's what it was like. It was horrible. Absolutely horrible. We could not stand to breathe. Matter of fact, we got to a point where we didn't go on water slides because the sun shining on the concrete was so hot you couldn't stand in the line. So we laid in the lazy river. You ever been to one of them little lazy rivers? You know, we just laid there and floated through the lazy river because it was just so hot. But one of the things that we found ourselves doing was when we had to leave the lazy river to go somewhere, we found ourselves running from one piece of shade to another piece of shade because the ground got so hot that you didn't want your feet touching it very long. And so you ran to areas where it was not as hot as the other. And I remember running from one to the other, and one guy ran and took my shade in the middle of me running to it. And so I'm like this. And I ran to the other, ran back to my shade, and I learned a lesson that I'm going to look before I run so I get to the shade, and no one steals my shade because you couldn't walk in that place. One of my favorite times at the water park was this, when we opened up our locker and put our shoes back on. Made me the happiest man on the planet. I was so thankful to have sandals and to separate me from the heat of that ground. When Paul says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, what he's telling us is that there are times in our lives where you're going to walk through hard, desert, hot, difficult places. And you need to have the protection of your feet. Because if your feet aren't protected, it's easy for the enemy to overcome you. Matter of fact, in the old days, they used to use as a weapon something kids used to play as a game. You ever played the game jacks? You know, you bounce the ball and you pick up as many of them jacks as you can. But as a father, you hated that game because usually you walk through the living room and you stepped on one. Well, they used to be a form of weaponry in the old day because most of the people that were fighting in wars didn't have shoes or didn't have some type of sandals. And so they would use these jacks, and they would kind of like a jack, but they would throw them on the ground and they would step on them. And when you step on something, what does it do to your body? You don't just walk in like nothing happened, that's for sure. You stop instantly and all of a sudden you start caring for that spot on your foot, and nothing else matters at that moment but what you've stepped on. How many have ever stepped on a goat head? That happened too. Goat heads are a result of the sin back in the Garden of Eden. They came from hell itself. Because when you step on a goat head, it's over. Your foot, you just drop, it's done. I just took my wife yesterday. I said, honey, look, the kids aren't paying attention. Let's sneak out the door and they won't know we left and let's go to Starbucks. The Starbucks is not far. And she said, okay, let's do it. So we snuck out and we have a sneaky little way. You know, she goes, hey, honey, come to the garage and see what I've done. And so I go, oh, okay, come on, honey, let's go. So we walk to the garage and we're gone. They have no idea. We left. We just left. And we went down. We were going to Starbucks, and behind my house was a little alleyway, and we're walking down the alleyway, and as I'm walking, we're just having a normal conversation, but I interrupted the normal conversation with a, oh, my Jesus. Because what happened was there was a little cactus barb sitting on the ground. I was wearing sandals, and it snuck up over the top of my sandals, and it pierced into the side of the soft part of my foot. And I didn't just keep walking like nothing happened. I stopped instantly, and I grabbed my foot and pulled it up as high as I could. When I was a kid, I could get up higher, but now I can't get up so high. But I pull it up, and I just immediately started tendering that foot, because when your feet are not taken care of, or when you are wounded on your foot, you don't realize how much you use it until you can't use it anymore. That's why Paul said, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Because, Christian, you're going to be in times in your life where you need your feet protected. And the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is what guards our feet. Now, why is it important? Let me give you this. I got three reasons why it's important. You ready? Here it is. It protects the terrain. When you have your feet shod with the gospel of peace, there are times in your Christian walk, Christian, it's not going to be walking through the grass. How many love to take your shoes off and walk in the grass? Yeah, there are some times in your Christian walk with God, it is not going to be like walking through the grass. It's going to be like walking through a hot desert. Have you ever been to the beach when it's blistering hot and you're trying to get to the ocean and you're walking through that thick sand and every time you step on it, it sinks down to your ankles and it's nothing but hot sand on your feet? There are times in your Christian walk where the enemy has brought storms and you'll be trudging through mud and all kinds of difficulty. There are times in your Christian walk you will be in a valley. You will not be on the top of a mountain walking on hard, solid surface with a clear path, but you'll be walking in a valley that has no clear signs of where you're going or what's going on. It'll be a desert experience, and in those times you want your feet guarded. There'll be times where you're trying to climb up a mountain to get somewhere and you need your feet guarded. And so the terrain of our Christian life is not always easy or something we skate through. It's sometimes difficult. And so, Christian, you need to have the gospel of Jesus Christ as your sure-footed foundation. So when you're walking, you have the gospel that gives you the strength to continue the walk. What gets you through the valley? What gets you through the storm? What gets you up the mountain? What gets you on that mountaintop? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you ever come to church and you've been wore out? Been just like, God, I need a word. I need you to speak to me. I need you to move in me. And you come to church and you're waiting for God to do something. All of a sudden, God speaks something through a song or through the preaching, and the word comes to you and it uplifts you. It's because the good news of Jesus Christ brings you through the difficult terrain of your life. The good news of Jesus Christ will bring you through valleys. It'll bring you through storms. It'll bring you through difficult times in your life. That's why Paul said, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. What is that gospel message? Amen? I'll get to that in a moment. But the terrain, it protects from the enemy's plan to immobilize you. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. Then Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. The enemy wants to stop you from going forward, but I've prayed for you. Jesus is that gospel news, my dear friend. He's that gospel news that you and I need to keep going strong. The enemy has plans to destroy you, but God has, and he's made ways to destroy you. He's put up stumbling blocks. He's put his jacks out, if you will, on the path of your life to stop you and to get you to quit moving forward. I cannot tell you how many times I have encouraged other believers who are ready to quit serving God because the enemy came in and threw something in their way, and God got the blame for the thing the enemy did. I want you to know that every evil thing on this planet today, everything that's in this planet today, even death itself, did not come from God. It came from the liar, the father of all lies. It came from hell itself. It came from Satan himself. And Christian, God says, Paul said, you need to have your feet shod with the gospel so when the enemy tries to stop you from going forward, he cannot stop you. The enemy is stronger than we are, my dear friend, but the word of God makes us quick. I like that word, quick. You ever need to be quick? David said, he made my feet like hinds' feet so I could escape to the mountaintops. You need to be quick. Amen. The Holy Spirit, the word of God, makes us quick. And the Bible says, and Hebrews says, not only does it make you quick, but it's powerful. It's powerful. The gospel news of Jesus Christ is powerful. It is quick. Have you ever had to whip out a scripture in a storm? Have you ever had to whip out a scripture when you were falling apart? Have you ever had to stand on something that said, God, you're going to be this strength for me? It was in January. I was going through the most difficult time I think I've ever been in my life. And I was just falling apart. And the Holy Spirit gave me a verse. And it's the verse that God said, I will help you. And I hung my whole life on those little words. I will help you. And so when I got to a place where I couldn't make it, I went back to the good gospel news. I will help you. And when the devil told me you got to quit and just give up and throw the towel in, why don't you just end it all? When the devil kept telling me that, I came back to this thing. God said, I will help you. And so I clung to that. I held on to it. I made it the motto of my life because when the enemy was trying to stop me, the gospel was keeping me going. Amen? So you got to, that's why Paul said having your feet shod. Listen, it gives traction where you would normally falter. The gospel does. Get this. I'm talking about shoes and I'm talking about the gospel. Your shoes give you traction. If you're a mountain climber, you wear certain types of shoes. When you go to war, we have combat boots that our soldiers wear when they go to war. If you're going to be playing soccer, they invented a thing they call cleats. If you're going to play basketball, they've got basketball shoes. For whatever occasion, if you're a runner, they made running shoes. If you live in Arizona, you like what they call sandals. It avoids the whole option of socks. Amen? Because we live in a desert. There's all these different types of shoes, but get this, the gospel of Jesus Christ is for every occasion. It's for every occasion. Wherever you're going, if you're mountain climbing, it works for there. If you're going through the valley, it works for there. If you're on the mountaintop, it works for there. The gospel of Jesus Christ gives you the right traction at the right time, in the right place, in whatever situation you are in your life. The gospel shoes I'm wearing is good for me, and the gospel shoes you're wearing are good for you. They'll work for you like they work for me. They will never, ever falter or fail, but many people lose traction because they're believing something they shouldn't be believing. And the gospel of Jesus Christ keeps us stable. David said, my foot almost slipped. He said, I got to looking at the unrighteous. I got to looking at the ungodly. And I almost slipped away. I almost fell away. My foot almost slipped. But then he said, but I remembered their end. When I remembered their end, that's when I remembered and I continued. What is the end they're coming to? What is the end of the unrighteous path? The end is what God says is the end. He began to reflect about what God said the end of the unrighteous path is. And in that reflection of God's word, he remembered why he was doing what he was doing, why he was living the way he was living. He wasn't unrighteous, but he was walking with God. Christian, when you live in the gospel news of Jesus Christ, you walk differently. You talk differently. Your whole lifestyle becomes different because God has equipped you with a whole new way of walking. Amen? The enemy's constantly pushing us to give up. He doesn't want us to worship God. He doesn't want us to be good Christians, but we need to continue the fight. Now listen to this. So those are the three things about why God talks about our feet, but there's one word tucked in this verse, and the word is preparation. Having your feet shod requires preparation. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Understand this, that there is something beautiful about being prepared. When I scare my son, he's never prepared for it. And his body actions are the greatest you'll ever see. I dare you to try it sometime. Hide behind a door in a dark area. And when he comes in, just give him a little touch and go, hey! If you were asleep, I just woke you up, amen? And his actions just bring such pleasure to the person scaring him. He doesn't just go, oh. His whole body loses strength. He falls to the ground and screams like a little girl. It's like something like this, ah! And he collapses to the ground. He's never prepared for it. But when you're prepared for it, it's really hard to scare you. He catches me, I can never get him. You see, the enemy doesn't want you to be prepared, but God wants to prepare you for what's coming your way. Jesus said, in this life you will have tribulation. I don't know why today we're not preaching this. I don't know why today churches aren't proclaiming this. But in this life you will have tribulation. So Christian, how you approach that, how you are prepared for that is as crucial as you knowing it's coming. We send our soldiers out and they're running to the battle. They're not running from the battle because they're prepared for that battle. They're ready for that war. They've gone through the training. Christian, God has equipped you. He's trained you. He's developed you. He's prepared you. David said, I've already fought the lion. I've already fought the bear. And this giant is nothing more than God trained me back then. I'm prepared for what's coming right here, right now. Amen? I'm prepared for it. This preparation is crucial to our stability in Christ Jesus. Many Christians are not stable because they were not prepared. They act like my son when they get scared. Ah! And they fall down. I don't know. Where are you at? How is this going to happen? How am I going to make it through? It's like the devil snuck up on you. You need to know something. The devil's not just, he's looking to plan an attack on your life. He wants to stop you from going forward. So prepare your heart. Have the gospel news in your heart, in your life. Have scriptures ready. Have the battle in your mind already won. Know that you're victorious before you ever even lift a hand to fight. Jesus said, Peter, come, I'll make you. When Peter was there on the shoreline mending his nets, Jesus came. It was probably the second meeting that Jesus had with Peter. And he walks up to Peter and he says, Peter, come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. And the key word in that verse is not the fishers of men. The key words are, I will make you. Because if you don't know this, Christian, God's still working on you. He's making you, shaping you, forming you, developing you. He's using the circumstances of life around you to test and strengthen you. One of the things I learned as being a pastor was that if I didn't pass the test, I couldn't be where I am today. That the test of going through the struggles that I went through before were to get me to a place where I'd be able to stand in this place and minister to you. David said, I've already fought the lion, I've already fought the bear, the giant will be nothing more. How did he get there? He'd already been tested. There's a preparation that is involved in this. Jesus said, I will make you into a fisher of men. I'll develop this in you. Now, Peter is a loudmouth guy. He has what we call hoof and mouth disease. He's always sticking his foot in his mouth. He's the extrovert without restraint. He's always running here and there, saying what he wants to say, doing what he wants to do. But Peter had one thing going for him. He was walking with Jesus, the one who prepared him to be the man that God has called him to be. The gospel prepares us for the path that God has placed you on. The good news of Jesus Christ prepares you for where God is leading you to. Listen, God cannot use in you what you don't have. Remember what he asked Moses for? He said, what do you have in your hand? He asked him, what do you have in your hand? Because what he had in his hand is all he needed. What you have in your hand is what God needs. He's not going to use something you don't have. He's going to use what you have. But listen, I know this, that God only brings back to me what I've put in. Let me explain it to you. As a pastor, I'll get up here and preach, and I say more on accident than I ever do on purpose. And that's the truth. Because I put it in my notes, but what ends up happening is the Holy Spirit begins to move on my mind, and he brings back things that I learned and that I studied and that I put into my mind many years ago, and all of a sudden I'll just start regurgitating exactly what I studied before. So once I put it in, it became something in my arsenal that the Holy Spirit could go back and dip into, and he pulls it out and I use it at that moment when the Holy Spirit brings it back to me. There are times while I'm preaching that the Holy Spirit will bring back something that I learned in my 20s. And he'll bring it back, and I go, oh, I forgot all about that. Yeah, that fits perfect right here in this sermon. The Holy Spirit brought that back. But how did he bring it back? It was something that I already had. Some of us are looking for revelation or some type of illumination. Some of us are looking for a word, but the word is this. Open up that thing we call a Bible. Put your face in it, because once you start learning it, once you start reading it, you're starting to impact your life forever, because it's not just any word. It's a living word. It's a quick and a powerful word. It's piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It'll radically transform your life. So put your face in that word. It is how you prepare your heart for what is coming your way. You need to be armed with that word of God. Amen? Prepared soldiers are marching into it. Christians today, they're not marching into it. They're asking God for the path of least resistance. What's the path that will not be so hard, not so difficult? What, God, I want to serve you, but I want it to be like, you know, bubbles and tulips and roses and I always want the stars to be there, and I want the smells to be nice. But if you read the Bible and you follow some of God's greatest men, it wasn't always smelling so good. Matter of fact, when Paul and Silas were in the prison, in the innermost part of the prison in Philippi, I don't think it probably smelled so good. I don't think they had running water for bathrooms. I'm assuming the smell wasn't the one most wonderful thing. I'm assuming they didn't get to see the stars. No, I've not been in the Philippian jail cell, but I'm assuming that was the innermost part of the prison. I'm assuming they were locked down. There was no wonderful smell, no wonderful vision. There was no roses, no tulips, nothing to dance through. But yet in that place, they found a place to praise God. Why? How did they find such determination? Where did that come from? I'll tell you where it came from. It's a gospel of Jesus Christ that put it there. A fire, a zeal, an excitement, Christian. We need to have a fire in us and a zeal that in whatever circumstance of life we are in, the gospel brings us through that. I'm going to do it again. I did it this morning. It's worth doing it again. Now, where's that song? You know, we worship the Lord this morning, but the devil loves to steal your worship. And how he does that is he distracts your mind from the focus of the gospel. You see, real worshipers worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Truth. We worship him in the truth. What is that truth? That's the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ alone. We sang a song this morning. Sister Amy sang it, and I love it. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Anybody want to praise yet? Anybody ready for a praise break? Why are you praising him right now? Because you are the wretch he saved. That's why you're praising him. who saved a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atone. Anybody ready to praise him again? Doesn't his precious blood atone? Doesn't it pay the price? Then I repented. Come on, anybody repented in the house? Of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Anybody ready to praise him? And he, with his redeeming blood, oh, he loved me ere he loved me before I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Now, okay, now we sung it, right? We sung it. But listen, praise comes because your mind is engaged in what those words are meaning. Real praise is rooted in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when we put our boots on, we are planted on that gospel truth. So when we sing this old, old story or we talk about the blood, it should inspire something inside our hearts. It should say, this is why I'm praising him, because of the blood. I'm praising him because of what he's done. I'm praising him because I was the wretch that was lost. I was the one who was dead. I was the one who had no hope. But God came through by his groaning, by his precious blood atoning. I heard about his healing. Come on. Of his cleansing power, revealing how he made the lame, come on, to walk again. And he caused the blind to see. You see, I got to teach you how to praise him with your mind, not just your actions. You can praise him with your mind and your actions follow. But many people learn how to put their hands up and their mind ain't engaged at all. But I've seen people in church, in our church, when we should have been praising and we weren't praising, when we should have got victory, we didn't get victory because instead of praising him with our mind, we were only doing it with our bodies. And God isn't interested in your body praise. He wants your mind and your heart. Amen? And so the gospel news is what puts the boots on the ground. It's what makes the gospel real. It's what makes it real and powerful in our life. And are you living that gospel truth that gives you a prepared heart? A heart that's prepared. Listen, if your heart is prepared, you can praise him. There was a day in Christianity when they didn't come into the doors of the church without praise. They would stop at the doors and said, I'm coming into your house to praise you. And they'd raise their hands and give praise to God. How did we get away from that? We've lost that heart of preparation. Preparation that allows the gospel of Jesus Christ to be in our lives. All right. Let me give you this last thing. Prepare your feet with what? Prepare your feet with what? The gospel of peace. The gospel. That word gospel means good news. Good news. So Paul is saying, have your feet protected by the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. God is not an advocate for ignorance. Matter of fact, he said, my people perish for a lack of understanding. God wants you to know and understand. He's not afraid of the atheist and their debates. He's not. The atheist can't even describe how a woman gives birth. They can't even figure that out. They can't even really duplicate it. It's so magnificent what happens in the womb of a mother. They can't even figure it out. It's miraculous. In the eyes of biologists. And I can tell you it didn't happen because there was a cosmic burp in the sky. It happened because the gospel was spoken by God. The gospel news of Jesus Christ, God is not an advocate for ignorance. He wants you to know. And today we have people that just don't know. I was sharing just the other day with somebody about how today we have a strong generation of people in here who know what Pentecost is all about. Anybody in here know what Pentecost is about? Come on. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? When I say Pentecostal, your mind travels back, right? Come on. Anybody's mind traveled back when I said Pentecostal? Anybody went back to a time in your life when you fell asleep under the pew watching someone dance their bobby pin out? Anybody in this church can remember a time when the service didn't have a close and the preacher didn't close and the altar never really closed? It just seemed to go on and on and on and on. And afterwards, they had fried chicken in the back because you needed a pick-me-up because church was about to start and the evening service started. And so you had to go back for the evening service. Anybody remember those days where it was so drug out because the power of God would fall in that place? And the Holy Spirit would move. There's a generation in this church that knows that. Then there's a generation that has no clue. That's my generation. You say Holy Ghost or you say Jesus and he's just like Buddha to them. He is not Buddha. He is not Joseph Smith. He is not any of these false gods that are out there. He's not any of those things. He's not who the Jehovah Witness say he is. He's who God said he is. What's funny is I think today in my generation, if I was to ask them, where the first book of the Bible, what is the first book in the New Testament? They couldn't tell me. I hope you know. Amen. If you don't, it's Matthew. Amen. New Testament, Matthew. Starts there. You ask him how many books are in that Bible. Can I see your Bible again, sis? What? Say it again, Brother Scott. 66. 27 in the New Testament. 39 in the Old Testament. Every single book speaks of one character. His name is Jesus. Amen. Genesis talks about Jesus. Exodus talks about Jesus. Leviticus is all about Jesus. Numbers is about Jesus. Deuteronomy is about Jesus. Joshua is about Jesus. Ruth is about Jesus. 1st, 2nd Samuel is about Jesus. Judges is about Jesus. 1st, 2nd Chronicles, 1st, 2nd Kings. Your Bible's throwing up. It's about Jesus. Amen. Sorry, sis. And I left you to clean up your mess. Amen. Thank you. Amen. It's all about, the Psalms are about Jesus. The prophets are about Jesus. And when you get to Matthew, you get to see. Amen. You get to see him. In Mark, you get to see him. In Luke, you get to see him. In John, you get to see him. And in Acts, you get to see him inside his disciples. And then the disciples describe him to us, tell us who he is. And then in Revelation, John said, I saw him and I fell down at his feet like a dead man. And then he touched me. He said the man on the throne had a scroll in his hand and it was sealed up with seven seals and no man was found worthy to unlatch the seals of the book. He said, I began to weep because nobody was found worthy. But then a man tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, John, don't cry because there is a one who is worthy. There is a one who is worthy. And he, all of a sudden out of the throne, there came a lamb who had been slain and he took the book out of the man, out of God's hand on the throne. And he began to break the seals. His name is Jesus Christ. Everything in that book is about Jesus. Don't you miss it. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all Jesus. Amen. All Jesus. That gospel news is what prepares us for wherever we are. Do you know that he was born of a virgin? Do you know that for 33 years he walked this earth? Do you know that at 33 he laid down his life? It wasn't taken. He laid it down on a cross. Do you know they pierced his hands? Do you know they pierced his feet and they pierced his side? Do you know that they laid him in a tomb for 3 days, but early on a Sunday morning when they came to do the normal thing, the tomb door was rolled open. Why? Because the gospel news is all about Jesus. all about him. But are you prepared with that news? And does the preparation of that news cause you to keep fighting? Does the gospel still ring true in your heart? Is it your gospel? Is it your good news? Is it yours? Man, when Jesus came into my life, it radically transformed me. I wanted to get into his word, and I got into his word, and I just wanted to know more about him. I wanted to get closer to him. There's an old song, I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about that mansion I'm going to receive as my reward. How many know that old song? Great old song. Christian, when you give your heart to the Lord, you need to know why you believe what you believe. You need to be firmly planted on it. Let me tell you something. When I first got saved, my grandmother taught me about Jesus, and I love Jesus, and I love the Lord, and my pastor taught me about the Lord, and I learned from him. But there came a time in my Christian walk where I asked this question, why do I believe what I believe? Why do I believe it? Have you ever come to that question? Or have you ever asked yourself why you're not a Mormon this morning? Why you're not a Jehovah's Witness? And let me tell you something. You should ask yourself that question. Because all it's going, God is not afraid to show you his truth. I began to study when I asked this question. I began to study the Mormon church and the Jehovah's Witness church, and I began to study different religions across the world, and just to see why I believe what I believe. And I come to one conclusion. There's one absolute truth. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? And I'm going to tell you, I'm not trying to be mean, and I'm not trying to be rude. If you have friends that are involved in these, I'm not trying to be attacking. But I'll tell you right now, you'll never catch me in a Mormon church. Never. They don't believe in the same Jesus you and I believe in. He's a different Jesus. His brother is Lucifer. My Jesus' brother isn't Lucifer. God has one son. One son, his name is Jesus. The only begotten son of God is Jesus Christ. There is no other son. But according to the Mormons, God has a lot of women up in heaven. He's having sex with them, and they got a lot of babies up there. According to the Mormon doctrine. That's why you'll never catch me in a Mormon church. You'll never catch me in a Jehovah's Witness church. You know why? Because Jesus isn't the God. He isn't the one sent by God. He's just one God among many gods. And Elohim isn't the one God. He's just one God. Elohim and Jesus, they're not really all that close. Jesus was nothing more than just a real prophet on the earth to them. No. He's my Savior. He's God in the flesh. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm telling you, the gospel truth keeps me planted, keeps me firm. It tells me right from wrong. It gives me stability. It makes me strong. And that's why I don't walk the same way I used to walk. That's why I fellowship in the right areas. That's why I protect my heart from ungodliness and unrighteousness, because I've learned from his word. David put it this way, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Christian, do you have your boots on? That gospel, is Jesus as real to you today as he was the day you first got saved? He should be sweeter and sweeter. He should get greater and greater. You put your boots on because it's the gospel message that makes you stable. It'll bring you through hard times. It'll pick you up in the down times. It'll make you strong when you're not strong. You'll be able to hang your hat on it. You'll be able to hang your life on it because God's word is true, and it'll never ever fail you. Listen, God's credit is good. You can take what he says to the bank. You can take what he says to the bank. Amy, would you come to the piano, sis? Christian, Jesus said, this is the gospel I'm talking about, the gospel, the good news. He said, behold, I have given you power to tread upon serpents. Do you realize that the gospel of Jesus Christ gives you crushing power? Jesus came to his disciples and he said, hey, who do men say that I am? What is everybody saying about me? And they said, well, some say you're a prophet, some say you're Elijah. And then the real question came, who do you say that I am? That's where the true test of the gospel is. Who do you say he is? Peter piped up, you know, that extrovert with no restraint. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood didn't tell you this, but my Father, which is in heaven, revealed this to you. He revealed this to you. And he said, and upon this rock, I will build my church. What is that gospel news? That Jesus Christ gives power to believers. That gospel news is that Jesus, the Messiah, is the rock by which the church is built on. You and I are built on the rock of Jesus Christ. The cornerstone that the builders rejected has become the head cornerstone. You and I have Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to his church, he said, I have given you power to tread upon serpents. I don't know about you, but I don't want to step on a serpent being barefoot. Amen? Matter of fact, when I walk through goat heads, I want shoes on. When I walk through this life, I want my shoes on. Jesus said, I've given you power to tread upon it. Jesus was able to walk on water, stormy water. No one else could. Peter said, if it's really you, Lord, bid me come. And Jesus gave him the command, come. When Jesus said, come, the power to walk in a place he couldn't walk was there. Because Jesus is the gospel news that gives you power to walk where you can't walk. You have power to crush it. Do you realize today that the only reason that I'm pastor here today is because I've been walking in that gospel news? Through that gospel news, I've been able to crush the sin of my own life. Through that gospel news, I've crushed the past that should keep me from being here. Through that gospel news, I've been able to overcome the attacks of the enemy who have come against me, who've tried to trip me, who've tried to destroy me, all because the gospel news gives me power to step and tread upon it. You don't sink when you walk in the gospel. You don't fail when you walk in the gospel. You might even lose your life on this earth and lose it for the gospel, but you still did not lose anything, because when you lose your eyesight here and you open them up there, that's a whole nother place to walk. Smith Wigglesworth. I'll end with this story. Smith Wigglesworth, I don't know if you know who he is, but he was a mighty man. Touched by God for sure. So many miracles. I have so many stories I could tell you. One time he actually punched a guy in the stomach and God healed him from cancer. Don't worry, I won't punch you when I pray for you. But that's what he did. And he just had a different type of faith. He was really a powerful man of God. On one occasion he did a missions trip. And he was in a place where there was a lot of strong demonic presence. Strong demonic presence was there. And there was witch doctors and evil people attacking him, trying to stop him. And they were doing all their things to stop him from preaching. And on one night, he was awoken by the violent shaking of his bed. He literally wrote and said, my bed moved. Literally moved by the shaking. He said it woke him up, and he woke up and he picked up his head and he realized he could sense the evil. And instead of being fearful, he said, ah, it's just you. laid his head back down and he went to sleep. How prepared do you have to be that when the devil comes in your room, you go, pfft, and you go back to sleep? You see, the devil can shake your bed, but does he still shake you? Or are you planted firmly in whom you have believed? Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able. Anybody else got that persuasion in your heart? Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for giving us the power to tread upon it. Thank you for victory. Victory to overcome the wiles of the devil. Thank you, God, for the power to tread upon serpents. Thank you, God, for the stability that your gospel news brings to us. Thank you, God, that when the enemy tried to tell us we could not, your good news said we can through you. Thank you, Father, that when it's impossible for us, it is possible through you. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord.